Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for January 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we got a row to hoe, but good things are happening, and we're all involved, and, well, we asked you to get involved with us, ladies and gentlemen. All right, our guest today, Mr. Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org. Welcome back, sir. Long time, no chat. Hope you and your family had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and more, sir.
It has been, Sam. It's good to talk to you. Thank you.
All right. AmericanPolicy.org is the website. And the headline, really, Why Property Rights Matter, is kind of the key to their website and to who they are. Tom has been a friend of ours for, I don't know, 25 years or more, it seems, doing a phenomenal job fighting for property. Fighting for understanding what's going on. And he's talked about Agenda 21 forever. Now it's changed to Agenda 2030. There's all kinds of different terms as we vet them and shine the light on the termites and shine the light on the cockroaches and stuff like that. They all scramble and they change the names to, quote, protect themselves. And they, but no matter what, we relentlessly carry the ball forward. And more people are understanding what's happening. But every time we carry the ball forward and we have some gains, and we are having gains, we'll tell you about those, by the way, they seem to get more sinister in their plans and in their agenda. They literally go for broke. And we're starting to see their radical, extreme, real agenda. And the more we shine the light, the more extreme they get as they panic. They're going to lose their, quote, edge or lead on this thing. And Tom's here to tell you about it. He emailed me a couple of different articles. And they're going to be published at libertyroundtable.com. But if you go to AmericanPolicy.org, they're there now. And the first one is the attack on the American beef industry by the, and they call this thing the WWF. And I used to think that was like the World Wrestling Federation kind of stuff. But no, although this seems like a world, you know, battle, a wrestling match between us and the people that want it. But these guys are, I guess they're part of the, what do they call this thing? The World Wildlife Fund? And the Global Sustainable Beef Roundtable is kind of in the mix on this thing. And, man, it gets all complicated if you're not careful, but it's very simple. They don't like you eating burgers, Tom.
Yep. That's it. And the World Wildlife Fund is one of the top three environmental groups in the world. Out of the United Nations is the environmental program, and the World Wildlife Fund and two other organizations run that, basically, and underneath that, then you have other groups like the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, and you also have all kinds of federal agencies, the EPA and HUD and other ones. They're all sitting around a table making this stuff up for controlling everything we think, do, and say under the excuse of environmental protection. And it shocked me. Back in October, I was invited to speak to a cattlemen's association in Oklahoma. And while there, and as I prepared for it and so forth, I learned what they were up against. The World Wildlife Fund, which has said, this is what's amazing, they have said meat consumption is devastating some of the world's most valuable and vulnerable regions due to the vast amounts of land needed to produce animal feed. And they went on to say that what we have to do is cut back on beef and meat consumption. Well, lo and behold, I find out that here's the beef industry, and the World Wildlife Fund is one of the founding members of what is called the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. And they are now controlling, the National Association of Cattlemen have basically pulled them in and allowed them to come in and help make the rules on how beef is processed in this country. And what they've managed to do is get control of the the packing companies. This is where the rubber meets the road. The packing companies, Cargill, Tyson's, there's one called JBS out of Brazil. There are four of these that basically handle all the beef industry. They're the ones with the market. And the cattlemen don't have a market. They have the packers. And what they've done is bring this beef roundtable in, and sustainable beef with all these rules and regulations as to how the beef must be grown, processed. And if they don't comply to that, then they have no access to these packing companies, and then they have no market. And this is what they have succeeded in doing. And it's the World Wildlife Fund that has stated that its goal is to stop eating beef are in control of this.
Brings up the question, why on earth would the cattlemen go for a plan to stop eating beef, and why would they let the roundtable in on this gig in the first place? And the answer is in how it's all, pardon the pun, packaged, Tom.
That's right. And, I mean, first of all, you put yourself in the shoes of these cattlemen, and all they hear everywhere is sustainable, sustainable, sustainable. Now you have the Environmental Defense Fund has now joined in with Tyson Foods and teaming up to develop and employ strategies that encourage sustainability. So all they hear everywhere is sustainable. And you have Sonny Perdue, who is the Secretary of Agriculture, talking about that we have to have a safe food supply. That mean? Well, that means sustainable. And you and I know what sustainable means. Sustainable means control. What the bottom line here is small cattlemen, small farmers are going to be put out of business under massive regulation. And so then you have huge processing farms or factories, basically. You know, you hear people talk about the horrible conditions of poor chickens that never touch the ground and all that. These are these farm factories, which is what this is all leading to. And the bottom line to the consumer is, what is the safety of the food? Because the first thing they did was remove any kind of labeling of country of origin. So now we don't know where our food is coming from, whether it's China or Brazil or other countries, and you know, we've had several different reports that have come out of bad food, bad processing and stuff coming, disease and stuff coming out of, like, for China. Now we don't know where it comes from, and this is the bottom line of where this is all leading.
Kurt, you're in the cattle industry. You deal more with milk cows and stuff like that than these cattlemen, but you deal with all of them on these farms and stuff like that, and some of the farms you deal with or some of the operations you deal with are both and such like that. These are pretty strange allegations. You got the Liberty Roundtable exposing the Beef Roundtable. The WWF, when I was a kid, was all about worldwide wrestling. Now it's all about government regulation, internationally speaking or globally speaking, of our American farmers or our American dairymen and cattlemen, because the same thing's going to happen to milk eventually if it's not already, Kurt.
Well, and, you know, we grew up having cows at our own place, you know, in the mountains of Arizona and all that kind of stuff. And the key thing to me that can circumvent, you know, this whole deal, of course, number one is education, and that's what Tom's, you know, organization's all about, and that's what we're all about. But number two is there's a continual movement by people to actually know who supplies them with their food, to you know, go directly to that supplier. And you know, it's true that in many cases, like say you're in a big city, it's tough to get done, but there's more and more moves in that direction. You know, we see it with the whole farmers markets kind of move and things like that. So it's nice to see how people, hey, they want to know where their food is coming from. They want to know what has been done with it. You know, I can tell you about the beef in our freezer because I know, you know, where it comes from.
Yeah, but they're going to try to outlaw that, Tom, aren't they?
Well, you know, as I said, there are four major packing companies that operate in this. And if all of them are controlling that, I mean, for the mass market, yeah, if you have farmers market, or I have a local butcher here that I can go to, and if you have that, but that's a very small part of the market. And, you know, a major cattleman with a big ranch and so forth couldn't survive with just that as his market. And this is what you're doing. And the people that I was speaking to, there's an organization called RCAF that is trying to fight back against this. And the group I was speaking to was a branch of that. And, you know, they're trying to stand up to it. But if the whole market is controlled by these guys, as I said, you know, Tyson and Cargill and these guys, then they have little opportunity to fight back. The main thing that we have to do, and I've kind of broken this down into to, you know, a three-part attack, is first of all, we've got to get the ranchers to understand, the cattlemen to understand that none of these people are their friends, that they are there to put them out of business. That is the goal. The World Wildlife Fund has flat out said that. The second thing is that we've got to shock and enrage the consumers across the country. And third, the federal government's got to be involved and got to stop this stuff.
All right, so we need the states to stop it. We need Donald to stop it. We need a bunch of things. Kurt, as you meet with a lot of these ranchers and stuff like that, is that a topic of conversation? Are they educated and aware this is happening? When we get back, let's have Kurt respond to that. Tom DeWeese, our guest, AmericanPolicy.org. We're talking about the WWF. Crazy stuff, folks. Global control of beef.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Tom DeWeese, riding shotgun on Liberty Roundtable Live, AmericanPolicy.org is website. We're talking about three letters, WWF. You think we're joking about this World Wildlife Fund and the Global Beef Roundtable design to literally regulate beef out of existence, folks? You think we're crazy? Go ahead. All you got to do is type three letters into Google. Google loves and promotes this stuff. WWF, if you type those three letters into Google, you will be shocked at what you see. The wildlife manifestos up there, I mean, the whole bit. Three letters, WWF into Google. Kurt, when you meet with cattlemen and stuff like this, is this a hot topic of discussion and concern?
You know, Sam, the sad thing is, at least the cattlemen, in my opinion, are basically like most Americans. And I was talking to one of them. He said, well, you know, if they'd put news like this into a country song, then I would probably know about it. You know, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's really true that most of them don't. They look at that part of life, you know, being involved in government and things like that, as like an outside extra thing, you know. And yet, you know, they'll find out more and more that that does have a lot to do with their opportunity to be profitable right here in America.
Yeah, and if they put it in a song in a positive light, if they talk about the WWF saving everybody, then, hey, this guy will just double down in defense of it. He'll, like, go country dancing with his wildlife T-shirt or hat on or belt buckle and such like that, won't he, Kurt?
Good point, Sam.
You know, I'm just saying, if you put in a country song, you got to tell the truth in the country song or you still won't get it. Tom, what do you think? This is not a topic around the tables of farmers and ranchers and et cetera much, is it?
Apparently it's not yet, but I will say I've just begun to, you know, start to put out information on this, and I'm really surprised by the very strong feedback I'm getting, positive. I mean, people are, you know, thanking me for getting this information out, and, you know, so we've got a long way to go, but I was just invited yesterday to speak to another cattleman's group in Colorado this July. And so, you know, it's beginning to get around, and, you know, we've just got to get control of this industry. What's interesting about this, we're talking about Agenda 21, you know, in Agenda 21 and sustainable development, we talk about the three connecting circles that is their logo: social equity, economic prosperity, and ecological integrity. Well, I've got a copy of the report from the working group, this beef working group that's putting this stuff together, and it says principles for sustainable beef farming. And interestingly enough, it's broken down into three parts: economic sustainability, social sustainability, and environmental sustainability, right there in this report. And what I wanted to figure out, okay, what's the social part of this? I know what social justice is in you know, in our other everyday lives, but what is the social justice issue in the, you know, the beef industry, and, you know, are cattle getting treated socially properly or something? Well, here are some of the things that's under social sustainability. Is the breed of cattle and choice of production system suited to the local climate, soil, pests, and diseases? Are the health, safety, and rights of all workers protected? Are all workers sufficiently competent? Does the farm, I love this one, does the farm positively contribute to the local community? It is now your job as a farmer to somehow contribute positively to the local community. I thought producing your crops and having, you know, these things for the community is a positive. You know, maybe there's jobs there and so forth.
And I thought a hardworking family, like a mom and a dad and children and cousins and aunts and uncles and a big family farm, you know, I thought that was contributing to society pretty good, yeah. You know.
But what we're talking about here is massive top-down regulation that the rulers on high will decide. And the rulers on high, the World Wildlife Fund, say to save the earth, it is demanded that we change human consumption habits away from beef. Where do you think that's going to land?
Well, it just means you're going to get your burger from a Petri dish, probably. Aren't they going to grow fake beef, too?
Yeah. Oh, that just disgusts me when I hear that.
Oh, man, pink slime was nothing, was it, sir?
Unbelievable. But this is where we're headed. And what I'm seeing here is this all-out attack in every direction, not just the beef industry. We're talking about the entire farm industry controlling our food supply. And, you know, you can have the whole discussion about soy and things like that. There's a lot of speculation that soy has a very bad effect on males. So that kind of goes along with everything else we're seeing about the attack.
Well, Aerosmith sung about it. He said, "Dude looks like a lady." So there you go.
That's right. Yeah. But this is you know, what we're facing here, and the, you know, controlling the food supply, controlling what we eat, how we eat. One of the things one of the reasons that they focused on the cattle industry is because the World Wildlife Fund and their buddies, you know, say that we could feed a lot more people by using the land to, you know, where they graze the herds, using that land instead to grow wheat and soy. We could feed a whole lot more people. But think about what your choices are, you know, for food. Are we talking here about mere survival to get through, or are we talking about enjoying life and having freedom of choice? Freedom of choice does not fit anywhere into this pattern.
Well, and I would kind of think that a blend creates the best diet, too, wouldn't you say, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all about freedom, you know, and liberty. You know, there are people that want to force us to do so many things with our bodies, from the vaccinations and all the other things. And, you know, freedom is kind of rough on some people because they want to take it away from others.
Well, you got fake news, Kurt, and you're going to have fake burgers now coming up. So, you know, you can suck down your fake Petri burger. They're going to create a new restaurant called Petri Dish Burger. And, you know, and you're going to have your fake burger while you're digesting your fake news all at the same time, buddy.
They already got the veggie burgers, you know, in so many places. And, you know, you see, it's just like you got soy milk, you know, and you got almond milk. You got all these things that, you know, in the past, I mean, when I was growing up, milk was milk. It wasn't mouse milk or rat milk or almond milk, but you know, things are changing, and you know, you wear a fur somewhere, and some people want to, you know, put red paint all over you, you know, and they're saving the planet.
Or you're just take you out,
one, you know. Yeah, good point.
So I'm not really for the rat and the mouse milk, but I'm kind of cool with the almond milk stuff. But I, you know, I get the point that, you know, hey, we got
it's hard milking those, you know, you just kind of get a hold of them and kind of squeeze them, you know, over and over right there and get them in the
almonds?
Milking machine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They used to have this thing called a wine press that was similar to that, you know, it's kind of like for grapes, and they do the same thing with almonds. And, you know, but what are we going to do, though? How quick is this going to come? Do you think it can be stopped? Do you think that the farmers will stand up? Or are they just going to simply say, you're a nut, Tom, and they're just going to go back to their, look, Donald's giving them a bunch of money right now. Is Donald speaking out about this? I mean, Donald could shut the WWF down in a heartbeat. He could take them down in a wrestling throwdown.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything out of the White House about this. But as I said, Sonny Perdue, the Secretary of Agriculture, who talks about that his number one goal is making sure that our food supply is safe, has kind of, by his own interpretation, kind of accepted these ideas. I do believe, and I was very surprised by the response that I've been receiving now, and as I said, in a positive way, and I think we have an opportunity to really open the eyes of a lot of ranchers who, they're just busy. They're, you know, they're doing their job, and you know, being involved in all the politics around them and everything, you know, if you're just trying to do your job, you're trying to shut all that out. I'm just going to do my thing. But as they are faced with this, they'll become aware of it. But as I said, the greatest danger is that almost the entire meatpacking industry is involved in this, is following this, and that is the market. And if we can't turn that around or get some new source of packing and so forth, new companies doing that who don't go along with this, well, something like that's got to happen. But one thing I think that would make it happen, and turn the tide on Tyson and Cargill and these guys, is if we get the word out to the consumers of what this is. You're buying this beef in the stores and stuff, and you don't know where it came from, and it's much more expensive now. Do that and have consumers start to buy it, stop to buy it. That'll change their minds.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight, because while you're hanging out, consuming your fake news and playing fake reality games and eating fake burgers, you might have to do it homeless. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org, on your radio. Time to get involved, people. This ain't no game.
Proclaiming liberty across the land.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Speaking of fake beef and fake news, before you go homeless, Tim Kaine has a comment, Kurt. Good old Senator Tim Kaine, huh?
Well, he says it's basically worse than the Great Depression in Washington, D.C. Sam, for some reason, I don't believe him.
Kurt.
Anyway.
Yeah, I guess he says that Washington looks like a breadline out of the Depression. what do you think of that? Maybe we can get him some beef with that bread there. Tom?
Yeah. Well, Tim Kaine, you know, Hillary's running mate, and unfortunately my senator, and I hope he is on a breadline. He belongs there. He's created enough of them.
All right. There you have it. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up just to kind of round out the, you know, fake burger discussion, and, you know, we can give him a veggie burger with that, you know, breadline kind of deal. All right. So cities across the nation are now taking steps to remove zoning. Just imagine, less zoning. You think that would be good, right? Well, the zoning protects single-family homes, and what they're doing is they're trying to put this tax and stack plan in place. And catch us up, Tom.
Yeah, this is, you know, as we've talked many, many times, one of the major sustainable development Agenda 21 things that, you know, projects that we see is a complete reorganization of our cities into these stack and pack high rises and so forth. The idea is that you can walk to work, you can ride your bike to the grocery, you can, you know, whatever the case may be, and or take public transportation wherever you're going. We're going to get rid of cars, and we're not going to have all that urban sprawl out there and all that. And as I said many times before, you put a line around the city and say no growth will take place outside of that line, and that's smart growth. Well, the problem is what happens when the population does grow, and now they have to up the density numbers. And the first thing they target are single-family homes. We don't have any room here for your backyard, for you to have your long driveway, anything like that. We've got a housing crisis. We've got to do something about it. So we're going to put apartment buildings in that area instead. And then the population grows some more, and it's, oh, goodness, those apartments aren't high enough. We need to go higher. We need to go higher till we get these high-rise stack and packs. Eventually, those high-rises get as high as they can go. And what do we do now? Well, we make them smaller, and some of the apartments smaller and smaller. Well, how do you get that done? Because you have people like Mayor de Blasio in New York who believes that private property rights are in the way of him being able to build, you know, what he wants. He said in a New York Magazine article this past fall, he said, what's been hardest is the way our legal system is structured to favor private property. I think people all over the city of every background would like to have the city government be able to determine which building goes where, how high it will be, and who gets to live in it, and what the rent will be. And that is right there. You know, it is laid out as clear as it can be. Well, what we've begun to see is across the country, communities. Minneapolis, Minnesota, is moving towards getting rid of zoning that protects single-family homes. And get this reason. The mayor of Minneapolis said this. Single-family home zoning was devised as a legal way to keep black Americans and other minorities from moving into certain neighborhoods, and it still functions as an effective barrier today. Abolishing restrictive zoning was part of a general consensus that the city ought to begin to mend the damage wrought in pursuit of segregation. It's racist to have a single-family home, according to him. And you think, okay, well, the guy's a nut, you know, whatever. No, because now we...
By the way, he is a nut, though. The answer is yes about that part. But well, don't think he's a nut and dismiss him is the point.
He's not a single nut. What we see,
there you go,
crossing across the country.
He's a married nut.
Is he what?
He's a married nut, not a single nut.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but you know what I mean. He's not alone in this. But in Chicago, the aldermen, which, you know, that's what they call their city councilmen, have had for ages the ability to veto certain kinds of things happening in their wards if they thought that it was detrimental to their constituents. I mean, that's representative government. Well, they're now moving to take away that what they call aldermanic prerogative. In other words, they won't be allowed to veto these programs anymore. So if somebody's putting a project together, smart growth project, an alderman can't say anything about it and try to veto it. Baltimore, Maryland, the NAACP filed a lawsuit against the city charging that Section 8 public housing causes ghettos because, well, they always put it all in the same area of town, and so that causes ghettos. And the ghettos are caused by where they are, not by the fact that you got MS-13 gangs, drug pushers, and everybody else that are destroying the family life there. It's because of where they're put. So the lawsuit demanded, and they won, that they now need to start putting Section 8 housing into single-family, upscale single-family neighborhoods, because that's only fair. And finally, in the state of Oregon, the Speaker of the Oregon Legislature has now offered legislation to end single-family zoning in cities of 10,000 or more. And she says, well, we have a housing crisis, and we've got to have more housing. So we can't have that single-family home. Again, refers to it as racist. But, of course, the reason they have a housing crisis is because government put a line around the city and said you can't go any farther. And population grew. But she won't ever recognize that. But this is what we're seeing, the massive attack on private property, on single-family homes, people who have worked hard and invested and been able to live in such neighborhoods. And there are, we, a long time ago, got rid of any kind of restrictions on, racial restrictions and things like that. A long time ago, that was all taken care of. But with liberals,
so I got a question.
Goes away.
This is being allowed to continue under the Trump administration?
Yes, it is. And what is coming from HUD. HUD, we've talked before about the program Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. And Secretary Carson has been trying to get rid of the AFFH rule, but he is under massive siege from all these leftist organizations that this is their bread and butter. This is you know, their whole goal in getting rid of private property. And so he hasn't yet been able to do that. He did put up a 60-day comment period, which I think is just about over, if not already over. We can say it. I personally
I got a question. Couldn't him and Donald together stop it? I haven't heard a word from them about it. I haven't heard from Ben. He's welcome to come on Liberty Roundtable Live anytime he would like to discuss this. If he's having a tough time, we could get the people to help him.
I know. I don't know what the deal is, why they don't do this. One of the dumbest things that Ben Carson has done, and I will say this flat out, he kept as his chief of staff an Obama holdover. Who does that? I understand they can't get rid of all these employees there. There's rules against that, but you can choose who your chief of staff is. And yet he said all the right things about why this is all bad, how it's destroying minority neighborhoods and things like that, but yet it goes on. And AFFH is a major problem. And the reason, this stuff doesn't just pop up overnight willy-nilly by itself. All these things, these examples I gave, just a few examples I have, they've all come up around the same time because they're being pushed by HUD and the AFFH program.
Well, Donald and good old Ben, they could just abolish the unconstitutional HUD program and then we wouldn't have an issue with it, right?
Well, if they could take some action that way and they could stop it. But on the other hand, take a look at what was happening at the EPA with the gentleman that he had put in place there as administrator at the EPA. He was doing a fantastic job. Well, they rounded up some kind of a scandal on him and get him out of office. He was doing the right thing. So I think sometimes they're just scared to act. So.
Well, maybe Kirk can get a hold of Ben for us, and Ben can go ahead and come on the program, and we can talk about it and influence him. What do you think, Kurt?
Yeah, I'll call Ben.
Mm-hmm. Okay, use the White House website, and you can go ahead and get it done and see what they say. But I'd love to have Ben Carson on the program, and I'd love to talk to Ben about this serious issue. I mean, when you have a similar attack on landlords, literally forcing rent controls, and the government literally forcing higher taxes and then prohibiting, them from charging higher rents to pay for these regulations and these whatevers. At some point, you would think Ben could do something about it. Cities across the nation, ladies and gentlemen, are now taking steps to remove zoning. Sounds good, right? Not. What they really want to do is promote stack and pack tax programs, and they don't want you to have a family home. It's racist. Are you a racist because you have a family? The second I walked into Kurt's house, I knew he was a racist because he had a family home.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths where so many cities are corrupt, and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting for it.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I went to Kurt's house, and the second I saw his family home, I knew he was a racist. And then what happened is I went to my own house, and I got a family home, too, and I realized I'm a racist. Did that epiphany happen to you, too, Tom?
Yeah, and I have some property around my house, too, so I'm just really out of control.
Wow, man. Hey, what you're doing is not sustainable, my friend. See, well, these people have taken these terms that we all agree with, ladies and gentlemen, at first glance. Hey, everybody wants to be sustainable. Everybody wants to protect the environment. God gave us the earth, and he told us to take care of it, right? Everybody's on board with these, quote, I don't know what you'd say, wordsmithed terms. We think it means something that, well, they think it means something entirely different. When you say you want sustainability, what you're saying is I want to get rid of my family home. I want to be homeless or live in a high rise. What really is you want to get rid of your burgers. You don't want to have hamburgers at all or meat. What you want is these manufactured, what they want you to really do is eat like bugs and petri dish food solutions and stuff like that. What they really want is absolute corporate global governance in bed fascist control. And they're literally going to force their dictates through secrecy till you wake up and it's too late to do anything about it, Tom.
Yeah, we have these assaults on private property and single family homes, but at the same time we have, you kind of referred to a little bit ago, on rental properties, on landlords, we have this massive attack on landlords now, trying to paint them as evil, filthy people who are just throwing people out on the streets willy nilly, and
Well, and Donald's the king of them all.
Yeah, right.
He's the king slumlord, isn't he? Racist pig. Come on.
Yeah. And you have in California in this last election a huge move for landlord-tenant laws and particularly for rent controls. And what's happening is the government is forcing the property owners, the landlords, to pay higher taxes, to have higher costs all the way around, but they are not allowed to charge a higher rent. That is racist. That is wrong. And they are not allowed to, Mayor de Blasio just said this in New York, not allowed to evict a tenant out of their property because that's their home. Well, I got questions. You know, if you go into Walmart and you put all of, you know, your purchases on the counter and you don't have any money to pay for them, are you walking out of the store with them or not? You know, you can't have them. If you don't pay the taxes on your mortgage, the government's going to take your home. If you don't pay the mortgage to the mortgage company, they're going to take your home. Wherever you go, you've got to pay. Now you've got landlords who have people in there who, first of all, are not paying. That Baltimore suit that I talked about earlier, the second half of that suit was that landlords were no longer allowed to ask potential renters if they could afford to pay the rent. Now you have people who are in those homes who are tearing them up, breaking things up, not paying their rent. And Mayor de Blasio and the rest of his crowd are telling people, you're not allowed to evict these people. Now, what's the bottom line result going to be here? You're going to have people saying, I'm not going to get in the landlord business. Are you crazy? You're going to lose everything you've got. So you will have fewer housing choices. What's the alternative? Oh, we're going to have government housing where, you know, everybody is equal. So we get rid of single-family homes, we get rid of these evil, horrible landlords, and we'll have the government making the decision, just as Mayor de Blasio said.
Hey, can I interrupt for just a second, Tom?
Yeah.
All right. About the house went blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me. Long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent. And out the door I went.
No more, ladies and gentlemen. Your world's turned upside down. The British thought that happened when the American Revolution occurred. We're about to have a new revolution, ladies and gentlemen. And what it really is elitists using, quote, sustainable words or these terms that we all think make sense against us. And what's really happening is they're going to violate the protection of life, liberty, and property like you've never seen before. And we need to stand against it. We need to educate ourselves, educate those around us. The best place to start is locally. I get that we need at all levels a solution here. But the best place you can start is locally, because people are starting to understand that on the local level more than ever. And I get that there's a massive problem, and I get that it's scary. When you really study this stuff, you can almost walk around in fear, thinking that it's horrible and that it's the end of the world almost. I want to be very clear. Yes, it is tough, perilous times. No doubt about it. But I don't want you to think that it's the end of the world. I want you to think that you can get involved and do something about it. And this does not have to be our future, Tom.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, we've been talking about these things. I've been working on these things for over 20 years. And in the beginning, absolutely no one was listening. Oh, come on, how can you do that? That's just a conspiracy theory and so forth. Now, as we have more and more victims, we have people calling more than ever before saying, what do I do? I've got elected officials saying, what can I do to stop this? Those are positive moves, and we're working to try to organize and help them and provide the tools they need to move forward. But people are beginning to stand up and beginning to fight. And I think that's one of the things, as you said in the beginning, that they're really starting to show themselves in kind of a frantic way, the way they would never say it before in the past. And now they're flat out telling us what they really mean. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that people are starting to stand up and they're getting panicked over it.
And they're going
to
use the fear of this global warming agenda, literally Ocasio-Cortez backing this big time, taking the liberals into extreme land like you've never seen before. She wants anybody that's very wealthy, she wants 70% taxation. She literally wants to double down on this global warming and says, hey man, the planet's going to melt down and completely within 12 years if you don't quit eating beef and if you don't quit living in your massive racist home and if you don't. And she's from the hood, so she knows that's a lie. She's from one of the most wealthy counties in the country, by the way. But nevertheless, this is the agenda being pushed, and the Democrats are going left or extreme or socialist big time. But the Republicans seem, they're unable to even speak almost. They're just dumbstruck. And the problem is they've been going along with this in secret, and now that it gets exposed, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, they're absolute cowards. They're afraid to bring up a controversial issue. It might cost them votes. The stupid idiots haven't figured out yet. That's what's costing them votes. That's why they're losing. Every time Republicans stand up and fight, they win. Think about it, Sam. You've got thousands, if not millions, of people across this country who are victims of these programs. I get calls every day, help me, they're taking my property away, what can I do? And no one is standing up and speaking for them. And if they could hear a politician come up and say the right things and understand and expose this stuff, these people would flock to them. But they are so convinced that people like me are just nutcases that, we don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about taxes. We'll talk about health care. But people are hurting because their property is being ripped out from under them, and, they're being destroyed.
All right. AmericanPolicy.org is willing to partner with you. He's willing to speak around the country and highlight this. He's put together some packets and some videos and some things to help folks know how to go about exposing this. Because if you go too crazy or too intense about it, hey, you just walk in and just start screaming they're stealing your property and everything else. They'll just shut you down and kick you out and go, you're a nutcase. On the other hand, if you appropriately, calmly lay out the facts, people are waking up all over the country, Tom. And that's really the key to the exercise. We need to go about it in a way that gives us credibility from the start.
Yeah, I tell audiences, you know, they'll listen to me speak about Agenda 21 and so forth, and I'm telling you that because so you have a background for this. But what people would end up doing is running into city council and say, you're implementing UN Agenda 21 policies, and they would go, what? What are you talking about? Get them out of here. However, if you really focus on the property rights issue, and I've got lots of tools and lots of ways to approach that. You're talking about your home, and not only your home, but other people in the community, and that's the way to help get other people involved and build a movement and do it, you know, from that level. Yes.
You also do well to do it by talking to a few of these people individually first. So don't just go in the meeting and blow up the meeting and create a meltdown. You're better off trying to build relationships of trust with local people and then literally individually showing this information to them in ways that they can understand it without feeling threatened first, right?
Absolutely. Very good point. And again, don't try to tell them everything you know in the first 3 minutes. You can't. If you tell them your immediate problem and, you know, have it well documented, look, go, you know, you can go in and see these comprehensive development plans that the community is putting together. Every one of them is doing it. And you can find the parts in there that you're bothered by, that are attacks on private property. You could say simple questions about what are my guarantees here that my property rights will be protected. Just ask that one question and look at them, look at each other and go, well, gee, I don't know. And then, you know, you kind of control the situation.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never cover it all in an hour. You got to go to AmericanPolicy.org. You got to drill in. You got to learn. You got to read the articles there and understand what's going on. One of the great ways to do it, if you're a landlord or a homeowner, is you can kind of come back and say, listen, put together a single-page flyer talk, you know, quoting these people talking about owning your own private home that makes you a racist. And you just literally look at them and say, you know what, sir or ma'am, I am not a racist. I've, you know, my family has owned homes in this community for generations or whatever it be. We're not racist. You know, why are they turning this into a political, battle? And all I want to do is live in my home in peace with my family and pay my taxes and you know, have a wonderful life. And you want the same, right? And you kind of back into this politely and say, hey, they're turning this into a political racial issue. You own your own home, don't you? Local rep or local whatever, commissioner or whoever you are. And they're calling you a racist.
Yeah. We've got a booklet on the website called Why Property Rights Matter. And one of the things to point out in there is that not only is private property the main way that the average person has to build any kind of wealth, it is almost the only way to eradicate poverty. All these poverty programs we have, where they're pouring money into all these programs, what's been the result of that after 50 years or 100 years of doing that? We have more poor. It's a growth industry because it doesn't work. Redistribution of wealth to end poverty creates more poverty. Private property ownership is a means for the individual to build their own wealth and get off those government doles.
Kurt, final word's yours.
I don't know really what to add except, as always, ladies and gentlemen, you can make a difference. People like Tom show you how. And, hats off to your efforts, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think it's also important to understand that, you know, this isn't a battle that you can just say, hey, Tom's fighting it for me. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. I appreciate the efforts Tom is putting together. He's got some materials and tools and support and clarity on the issues for sure. But it's going to be all of us together. Or Tom just by himself can't move the ball. This issue is global and international, and it's huge. But there's nothing that we the people can't accomplish, Tom. Final word.
Absolutely. By the way, I've got my new book on there, Sustainable, The War Against Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, and it has all this information in it. Wrote it as a manual for you.
Thank you, Tom. Godspeed. AmericanPolicy.org. We'll have you back soon, sir.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, critical topics on your radio. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam. He's Kurt. That was Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org. We need to understand these issues. Don't think Chicken Little and the sky is falling. Do think I can get involved and make a difference in my community and in my area. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the United States of America.